Today we have a special guest to lead us in chapel. He comes from St. Paul Lutheran Church, Irvine, California. Please welcome the Reverend Dr. Al Espinoza.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, Pastor Tim. And thank you to you all for having me today for chapel. This is my first time here. So before I pray, I just wanted to introduce myself a little bit. I'm from Delano, California, which is in the San Joaquin Valley around the Bakersfield area. And I attended Concordia University Irvine when it was still Christ College Irvine. And that's where I met my future wife, Tracy Martin from Colorado. We've been married now for over 25 years. We have, get this, 8 children. Thank you. And my oldest is in seminary preparing to become a pastor. My youngest is 10 years old, and she and I do Taekwondo together. She is a higher rank. She's a red belt. I'm only a yellow, so she can kick my butt. We also have a pug. We love our pug. If you ever want to hug a pug, come on over. We have 2 cats, and I get to teach at Concordia University Irvine, and it's great to be here. Thank you again for having me. So, I love God's people. I'm excited about being here. I'm here to once again share the message of God's love in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm really inspired because Pastor Tim is truly a brother in Christ. I see the Holy Spirit in him. The first time I got to hear him speak at an Orange Lutheran High School meeting, I heard an amazing testimony about his life, how God has worked in his life. And I also really have a lot of admiration for your principal, Principal Smith, because I see in her a dynamic, a strength that comes from God, and she's very open about her faith. And so I see it in you too, because this school has a great reputation as a Christian high school, right? Right? Okay? So now I am going to pray, and I'm really going to ask the Lord to lead us now, because I'm going to talk about some challenging things today. And then, of course, I'm going to proclaim the good news as well. So let's pray and ask God to lead us and guide us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our great and holy Good Shepherd, who is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, which is to say he takes away our sins. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We cannot thank you enough that you shed your blood to cover all of our sins. So now, Lord, we confess that when you look at us, you see us in your Son Jesus. No longer do we have to fear condemnation or judgment. Instead, you see us as your very own. We now are your children, and we have full access to your throne in the name of Jesus. So we now pray that you would send the Holy Spirit into our hearts once again based on our baptismal grace, that we would be led to know the truth of your word, apply it to our lives, to walk in your ways, and receive the tremendous blessings that you have in store for your people. And even though we go through tribulation, we know that the way that we are led out of that tribulation is that our robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So bless us now, Lord God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about our shepherd through tribulation. So Revelation 7:14 is something we have in our epistle this Sunday. And these are the words, please, as God's people, would you read them with me? These are the ones coming out to the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me tell you about this word tribulation that we find here in Revelation chapter 7. It's from the Greek word thlipsis. And that particular word is a word that is variously translated in English in the following ways. Sometimes you see that word translated as a trial. How many of you here today have ever been through a trial? Okay? That word is also sometimes depicted as affliction. And when you're afflicted, you feel pain. An affliction is something that causes you to suffer. How many of you here today have been through an affliction? Another way that that is translated is as distress. Something happens or something is happening in your life that causes you to worry and to be so anxious that you feel distressed inside of your soul. How many of you have been distressed? Looks like we're covering all the bases here. This is our human experience. In this particular case, the word is translated as a tribulation, but it means all of these things. Next slide. In Acts 14:22, the Word of God teaches, get this, this is normal for Christians. In chapter 14 of Acts, the Word of God says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, I hope this will soak in, because sometimes we hear from preachers and teachers and certain ministries that if you're really a Christian and you have the victorious Christian life, you don't have to go through trials and afflictions. That's false teaching. That's not true. And when people are set up to think that if I'm really a true Christian, I'm going to have it easy in life, but then something happens and they struggle, then they think, well, maybe I'm not really a Christian at all. And it can cause a lot of internal confusion. Sometimes to the point that people just turn away from God altogether. Maybe God's punishing me. Maybe God doesn't really love me. Maybe I really don't have a true faith. Don't buy into it. That's a false teaching. The fact is, we go through that stuff. John 16:33, Jesus taught us to expect tribulation. But he also gave us a word of comfort as well. This is from John 16:33. Our Lord Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. Take heart. For I have overcome the world. Those are his words to you. What kinds of tribulations do we go through in 2013? Well, I know there's a lot of political threats, threat of war and all that stuff, but sometimes we just don't have to go very far to see where tribulation falls. So as many of you, as you're doing papers and doing research, you go to Google and you type things in, and I went to Google and I typed in something that I probably encounter more than anything else as a pastor and working with God's people over 22 years, and that is this problem of depression. I found this picture that evidently depicts depression. When inside of your heart and your mind, you feel like you're in a storm. Everything around you might seem bright and cheery, but in truth, what you see because you're going through depression is nothing but clouds and darkness. Depression is something that I take extremely seriously. When I was 18 years old, I had managed to go through my high school years. And I was really, you know, I was doing my thing. I had 8 stars, 8 varsity letters, doing my thing. But I'd managed to be in a relationship for 4 years. And when we broke up, when I was 18 years old, it rocked my world so bad that I had a major crisis going on in my heart. And I knew something about depression when that happened to me. And I made a promise that I would always treat that as serious when I serve people. There's something else we go through in tribulation. Tribulations come within ourselves through addiction. I've been serving someone who had gotten into depression, gotten into some other tragedies, started taking meth, which some call the checkout drug, because she was giving up on her life. And I saw her face sinking in. I saw this darkness over her soul. And I called out to her with the gospel message of Jesus. And I knew how much she needed it. I know I'm not trying to be dramatic here with this picture, but addiction is about a spiritual battle where Satan tries to tie you up and lock you down in his power to control you. To understand what addiction's about from a spiritual level, Satan seeks to make you a slave to sin in order to destroy you. God is a God of life. Satan is the antithesis of life, and he's all about death and destruction. And addiction, whether it be sexual addiction, substance addiction, or any other kind of addiction, is meant to control you, to destroy your life. And Satan wouldn't like nothing more than to have you be successful at this awesome school and graduate and be launched into an awesome future, but get into your soul to destroy you. There's a war that's going on, and people know this kind of tribulation. It's real, and I take it very seriously. Another tribulation is in relationships. This is a picture of what's going on in a house. We have our facades, we do our thing, but so often the greatest struggles that we experience are happening under our own roof. God loves your parents. He loves your siblings. But we are saints who are also sinners. And we do stupid things. And we say destructive things. And we hurt each other. And sometimes the greatest tribulations happen within our own families. Tribulations are also man-made. I'm sure most of you have already seen this iconic picture of what happened at the Boston Marathon. People in this world who actually want to hurt other people and kill other people for their own demented reasons. And people are caused to go through tribulation because of that. Tribulations in nature. This is just one among many. If it's not a tsunami, if it's not a tornado or a hurricane, it's an earthquake. And we know the kind of trials and tribulations those can cause. The Bible teaches that just before Jesus comes again, get a load of this. I want to remind you that my PhD is in studying millennialism and apocalyptic literature, and I have to know something about pre-tribulational, premillennial dispensationalism and all that good stuff. But one of the famous teachings that is out there is this idea of the rapture and all the special teachings behind it. One thing we have to acknowledge, though, even in Lutheran theology, is it seems clear that as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Bible does seem to be teaching, and I'm not here to be a pessimist, I'm just acknowledging Scripture, things get harder, they don't get easier in this world. But I want to tell you something of what that says to me about you who confess Jesus here today. If you have been appointed to be a Christian in 2013, as times get harder and not easier, it's because God has a plan that by the power of His Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ to make you among the most powerful Christians who have ever walked this earth. To be His people in the face of tribulation and adversity when things get worse in this world. God has great plans for the Christians sitting out there to equip you with His Holy Spirit to know the joy and the power of God no matter what you face. I'm talking to some of the most powerful Christians God has ever raised up in these last times. That's a fact. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. And as you go forth in the name of the Lord, God is going to work through you to do things that will be a blessing to the world. But have realistic expectations. It's getting harder. But don't fear. God is with you. Last tribulation I want to mention is the worst of all. The faith is attacked. Beware of false prophets. Because look, after all the tsunamis and after all the domestic violence and after all the drugs, the single most important thing that Satan can do to you to destroy you is to take away the saving faith that you no longer confess Jesus Christ. And my understanding that years ago, when Columbine took place and a gun was held to the head of that young woman, my understanding of the historical events is she was asked, "Do you believe in God?" And she confessed her faith before she died. And she did not cower. And she did not deny the Lord. False prophets want to get you to the point where you give up. Why does this stuff happen? Look, it happens because of our rebellion. We have this nasty tendency that people want to blame God for everything. But if we're telling the truth and we're being real and we're looking in the mirror, how often do we get ourselves into jams and situations because of our rebellious decisions against what is right? And that's something that St. Paul could relate to. You guys know the scriptures in Romans 7. You've been hanging with Pastor Tim. He's probably already proclaimed to you many times. Paul is talking about himself when he says, "The good that I would, I do not do. That which I hate is that which I do. Sinful man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" C.S. Lewis, the great Oxford Don, said there are two rules that are always consistent about humanity. One, we know what we ought to do. And two, we don't do it. We've done it to ourselves. Next slide. But thank God that He does not leave us to ourselves. In Revelation chapter 7, that picture of glory, brothers and sisters in Christ, is a picture about you. You are the ones who are dressed in white. And that's a symbol. Apocalyptic literature is full of symbol and figurative language. And the white robes say, "Look, I'm clean, man. No matter how I sinned and how I rebelled and made some really bad decisions, by Jesus, I'm clean." And then we know in that symbolism, can I go back to that slide? We know the joy. When our consciences are clean, forgiven. How? How does this all happen? Because you and I are so good, right? No. It's because of the blood. It's because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Now, it's important to note, I'll talk about some exegesis here. The saints in Revelation 7:14, who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, it actually says in an active verb sense, they washed their robes. Saints are active. Once you've been saved by God's cleansing power, the passive power upon you that makes you clean, you get active. And your faith starts to work. And when it does, you're always going back to Jesus to be washed again. It's called faith. And it's what we do by God's grace when He pulls us in to worship Him. Thank God. What I'm saying here, though, is don't have any illusions. God is calling you to an act of faith. I know there are a lot of great athletes in this school, right? And every good athlete knows. And there's some pretty great musicians too, right? You have a talent, you have a gift, you have to be focused in what you're doing. And when Christians, you get that faith in your heart, you're focused on the finish line, you're active in your faith, you're getting it done for God by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Next slide. It sounds crazy, but this blood is what makes you clean. Let's read together Isaiah 1:18. And it's supposed to be though, not through. Pardon me. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Next slide. Revelation 7:17. It's all through Jesus. "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Next slide. The Lamb is our shepherd. The Lamb is your shepherd. The Lamb is the one who sees you through tribulation by His blood. And the shepherd is the one who guides you through every step of the way. And the next slide. Therefore, he deals with our tribulations and he wipes every tear from our eyes. Next slide. This psalm is fulfilled in Revelation 7, and it goes like this. Let's read it together if you can read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Next slide. And it's all because of Jesus, who put all of our tribulations on himself on the cross. And in glory, the day is coming, my friends, when he will wipe away all of your tears as you held to the one who holds to you today. Glory is coming. Don't ever forget it. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.